Let's read together Psalm 33. In this psalm, the Lord's people are exhorted to praise the Lord for his dependable care and control over all things. Let's begin by reading the first three verses. Psalm 33, beginning with verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Let's begin our study of this psalm, Psalm 33, with some background notes. In the last verse of Psalm 32, we read, "And shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Now we read in verse 1 of Psalm 33 that the righteous are to sing for joy in the Lord. And in verse 3, we read, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. There's no idea here that our praise to the Lord should be sloppy, haphazard, and without creativity. No. In fact, when our praise is put to music, we should aim to use skillful musicians, not just use anyone who can bang out a few notes on the piano or organ or some other musical instrument. So whether it be the lyre or harp of verse 2 or some other musical instrument, including guitars, basses, and drums, it should not be just noise. The bottom line is that it should accompany and promote praise to the Lord from the people of the Lord. That says a lot about what the content of our praise song should be, doesn't it? Praise songs should be about the Lord, who he is and what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do. Our praise should not focus on ourselves, but on the Lord. We see in verse 1 that praise should characterize the believer because this is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 1 again. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Now, what about the new song of verse 3? In the context, the idea is that our praise should be fresh and not stale. The gospel and the truth is not new and does not change, but the appreciation of our redemption and the Lord's faithful blessing for us should bring new and fresh praise from our lips and our hearts every day. As Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. Now in the rest of Psalm 33, we see two major areas where we should praise the Lord. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this psalm. Doctrinal point number 1. Believers should praise the Lord for his sovereign care of creation. Believers should praise the Lord for his sovereign care of creation. Verses 4 through 9. Psalm 33, beginning now with verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Verses 4 and 5 are the focus and heart of Psalm 33. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. All of God's words and works are characterized by his righteousness, justice, goodness, and grace. And we can depend on this truth because God is faithful to his word. At the end of verse 5, we read, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Anyone who denies this truth and says that the goodness of the Lord doesn't fill this earth, should try living on another planet. Our Lord had this global goodness of God in view when he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. So when little children thank the Lord for the warm sunshine and pretty flowers and puppies and kittens, they are right in line with Psalm 33, acknowledging the truth that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. So never discourage your children or grandchildren from praying that way. In verse 6, we read about the creation of the starry heavens. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And in reference to the earth, we read in verse 9, "For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Now let me ask you, does this sound like the psalmist had in mind a Big Bang scenario with millions of years involved in the formation of this earth? Or do you think the inspired psalmist was thinking more of a creation week as recorded in Genesis chapters 1 and 2? I think you know the answer. The Lord not only created this universe, but he sovereignly controls it. For this we should praise the Lord. Think of the devastating power of water, for example, when it is not under control. But we see in verse 7 that God controls all the waters on the face of this earth. God allows storms and tsunamis and flash floods, but only within the limits that he has determined. The whole world should stand in awe of such a God. Believers should praise the Lord for his sovereign care of creation. Doctrinal point number 2. Believers should praise the Lord for his sovereign control of history. Believers should praise the Lord for his sovereign control of history. Verses 10 through 19. Now in verses 10 and 11, we see that no matter what the peoples and nations of history have planned with their political power and military strength, it comes to nothing if it is not in line with God's plan for history. Let's read those verses. Verses 10 and 11. "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." In view of this great truth, how blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Verse 12. In verses 13 through 15, we see the omniscience of the Lord. The Lord sees all and knows all. Let's read those verses. Verses 13 through 15. "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works." No one down through human history has been able to hide anything from the Lord. And that includes every thought and every plan. Verses 16 through 19 make it clear that every battle ever fought in history has been under the sovereign control of God. Verses 16 through 19. "No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." Think of the battles recorded in the Bible and how God controlled the outcome. Even when it was against overwhelming odds, humanly speaking, God still controls the outcomes of wars and battles. The outcome of the Six-Day War in Israel in 1967, for example, was not by chance. God has always been in sovereign control of history, and that includes the personal history of every person. We see this wonderful truth in verses 18 and 19. Let's read those verses once again. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Believers should praise the Lord for his sovereign control of history. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 33? Practical application number one, rejoice in the standards of God. Rejoice in the standards of God. In verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 33, we've seen that we are exhorted to rejoice in the Lord and give praise to the Lord and sing to the Lord. And then in verses 4 and 5, we see one direct reason why. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. In other words, we should rejoice in God's moral standards as revealed in his word. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The question is, do we rejoice in the standards of God? Do we love and rejoice in God's moral standards as to what is right? Or do we just tolerate God's moral standards? Do we rejoice in the fact that God's word declares that lying and stealing are wrong and sinful? What about lying about our achievements and stealing credit that really belongs to someone else? Do we rejoice in God's standards when we know that God labels our selfishness and pride as sin? Do we rejoice in the standards of God when we learn that the Bible clearly teaches that sex is sinful when it is outside the bounds of marriage between one man and one woman? Some folks, including some Christians, tolerate God's moral standards and obey them and try to do what's right, but they don't rejoice in God's moral standards. Now, what about us? Do we more than tolerate and obey? Do we rejoice in God's moral standards? Rejoice in the standards of God. Practical application number two. Rejoice in the sovereignty of God. Rejoice in the sovereignty of God. Verses 20 through 22.
Psalm 33, beginning now with verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. I love the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. What about you? To know that God controls all things, including all of nature and all of history, should give the believer great confidence in the Christian faith. And that's the position of the believer in verses 20 through 22 of Psalm 33. We can wait on the Lord, knowing that our best interests are part of God's sovereign plan. Verse 20. We can rejoice in the Lord as we submit in trust to God's sovereign will. Verse 21. And we can pray on the basis of God's sovereignty, knowing that he loves us and cares for us as part of his sovereign plan. Verse 22. Rejoice in the sovereignty of God.